This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
And that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Interesting story kicking around this weekend, coming out of the weekend. That is, both Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade hypothetically could be bought out by their teams and thus would be able to be added to the Cleveland Cavaliers at almost no cost. The Cavaliers don't have any payroll flexibility, really, and they really weren't able to pull off a deal before the trade deadline, or I should say before the draft, rather, because it would take a lot of moving parts. It takes a lot of creativity. They need a three-way deal because they just don't have anything to give up outside of Kevin Love that anybody would want. So because of that, you have to involve other teams that would have the draft picks or young players that would go to the other team like the Pacers to give up a Paul George type or Paul George specifically. And so they're just, you have to get a lot of different things working. But if the Knicks buy out Carmelo Anthony because they just don't want him around, or Dwayne Wade is bought out by the Bulls, both those guys are making $24 million or more. You can't add that payroll to the Cavaliers. They just don't have the space unless they trade away Kevin Love. But trading away Kevin Love and then adding Wade or Carmelo doesn't make you better. Kevin Love might be the third best player on the Cavaliers, but he is better than both Carmelo and Wade in what they need from him. Carmelo is a scorer. He is nothing more at this point. He's not a facilitator. He's not a defensive player. He's not any of that. He is a scorer. He can still score. On a good night, Carmelo's going to put up 30 points. But he can't do any of the other things that Kevin Love does. Love is much better from a three-point stripe. Kevin Love does rebound. Kevin Love has worked on his defensive game. Melo's not giving you those things. Dwayne Wade, same thing. I mean, Dwayne Wade is a better all-around player than Carmelo. But you're just not going to get Dwayne Wade in his prime. You're getting Dwayne Wade now, who's lost a step, who's not as explosive, whose body has taken its toll because he's thrown it into the lane so many times over the course of his more than a decade now career, decade and a half basically in the NBA. So either one of those guys is a good addition for the Cavaliers, but not if you have to give up something to get him. But this would be fascinating if the mistakes of two other franchises, poor front office, ends up making a better Cavs. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, Phil Jackson is the dope that gave Carmelo all of the money in the world, backed up the Brinks truck, and gave him a no-trade clause so that there is no out. That if Carmelo wants to stay, he can stay. And in Chicago, Pat Riley didn't want to give Dwayne Wade all that money because he knew what all that money would mean for his own inflexibility. But Chicago did. It was ill-fated after just one season. They had to blow it up. They've traded Jimmy Butler. You know they don't want Rondo back. And now they might just eat $24 million for Dwayne Wade so that he's not around anymore so they could get the restart and the rebuild going on. It would be amazing if the mistakes of those two other poor front offices ends up benefiting the Cavaliers. And I don't know. To me, Dwayne Wade is a more logical possibility because Dwayne Wade, I think, does want to play again with LeBron, does want to be on a contender, would love to be part of that Cavs team to go up against the Warriors. I think there's part of Wade that really likes that, that likes being part of this kind of trek to track down the Warriors and be the right-hand man of LeBron and be playing in NBA Finals again. You know, I think he would want that. But for Carmelo, I'm not sure he cares enough. Really, I'm not sure he cares enough. I think Carmelo, part of what motivates him right now is sticking it to Phil. I really do. I think part of that is what drives him right now, that he didn't want to go to the Clippers. He didn't want to get traded to the Cavaliers. He didn't want to get traded anywhere else because he said, you know what? Who cares? I want to stay here. And I'm not going to let you dictate my happiness. I got the no trade clause. I can say no. So that's why Phil has been publicly rattling the cages and basically trying to upset him enough, tick him off enough, so where he says, I don't want to be around. There are some conversations that Phil might go into training camp and just say, well, if you're not going to accept the no trade clause, you're not going to play. You're simply not going to play here. So either you sit on the bench and not play, or we're going to trade you. But the union's not going to stand for that. Because the union goes, well, we have a contract. You're paying him all this money. He wants to play. You're not allowing him to play. Can't do that. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Knicks would just buy him out. Now, I don't think that's going to happen because that's a tough sell for Phil. That's a tough sell for Dolan. James Dolan likes Carmelo. James Dolan likes stars. James Dolan likes the money that he's paying Carmelo, probably a little bit too much to just say, okay, let's write a check, you go away, and I'm still paying Phil Jackson to make these bad decisions. But could you imagine if the Cavaliers could just basically add Wade and Carmelo for free? Would that make them better than the Warriors? Not necessarily, because those guys aren't in their primes anymore. But it makes them closer. Because you know what? If you could lean on Carmelo for once a week or twice a month to give you a nice offensive night and take the scoring load off of the other guys and give you another weapon, another option, and then Dwayne Wade is again another option, yeah, it makes you better. Absolutely makes you better. Tom's next up in Flint, Michigan, listening on 1330 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You touched earlier on the thing about Serena Williams, and I wanted to punch in a little bit. Serena Williams can go to most states and beat anybody in that state. Serena Williams could go to any city in the United States and beat most of the people, men, who play tennis in that city. So, you know, I mean, Venus could beat most of them, and some of the other females, too. I just want to weigh in on that. Hey, I enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Tom. Look, Serena is arguably the greatest women's tennis player ever. And for John McEnroe to say she'd be no better than 700 on the men's tour is just a chance to disrespect Serena. That's all that is. As I said before, she's not winning majors on the men's tour. She's not winning Wimbledon on the men's tour. She might not be able to win many tournaments on the men's tour. She might not be able to win a tournament on the men's tour. But don't tell me she's 700 in the world, because then that's just looking for a chance to disrespect Serena Williams. You're telling me the greatest ever to do it from a female standpoint is no better than the 700th best person in the world right now? Come on. She's the best ever, arguably, to play women's tennis. That's just a shot to take at her and women's tennis. And there's obviously going to be shots that that the men's tour or guys, males, can make that she can't. You know, maybe with spin, maybe with certain angles in the court, maybe with certain speed that they might have. But Serena is amazing. She is power. She is tenacity. She is agility. She is all of those things. So to even say she'd be no better than 700th is just, you're looking to disrespect her. You're looking to dismiss her accomplishments. And I guess he was answering this because he was asked whether he would ever play a battle of the sexes like a Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King thing against her. Well, I think she would beat his ass, but do I think that that really counts for anything? No, because he's old and washed up. I mean, how many years has he been retired? But to say that arguably the greatest ever to do it from a female standpoint is no better than the 700th jabroni on the men's tour is just, you're just looking to disrespect her. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. By the way, why are the Lakers bending over backwards to gloss Lonzo Ball? The kid hasn't played a basketball game yet in the NBA, and already they are lathering it on thick. Magic called Lonzo Ball, quote, the new face of the Lakers at his introductory press conference. All right, I guess that's not saying much, because who else would it be? Magic also said, D'Angelo Russell is a great player. He has the talent to be an all-star. We thank him for what he did, but I needed a leader. I needed somebody that can make other players better and that somebody other players want to play with. All right, D'Angelo Russell, immature, no doubt about it. Obviously a bad slip-up with Swaggy P. But how do we know Lonzo Ball is a leader? He played 1 year at UCLA, and he was very good. But I don't think you can say that this guy definitely made everybody around him better and is a leader that everybody wants to play with. So now you're just crossing your fingers and hoping. Lonzo Ball seems pretty quiet to me. Lonzo Ball seems pretty close to the vest. Lonzo Ball doesn't exactly seem like a rah-rah guy that's going to get everybody involved, you know, and stir up the locker room. But okay, you're hoping on that. But then, Magic, and I love Magic, but what are you doing? Looked up at the retired jerseys on the wall. He saw his own, Abdul-Jabbar, Chamberlain, West, O'Neal, Bryant, Baylor, you know, the great Worthy, the greats of the great. And he said, we expect a Ball jersey up there one day. The kid's 19 and being introduced for the first time, and you're saying we expect his jersey up on the wall with the greatest players in NBA history. Can we act like we've been here before? Like, come on. I was going to say this is like the Yankees making Aaron Judge the next Mickey Mantle, but they're already starting to do that, so maybe this is now par for the course. But, I mean, this is like introducing Aaron Judge before this season and going, yeah, we expect him to be in Monument Park. What the hell, man? Like, you are bigger than Lonzo Ball. Your franchise is bigger than Lonzo Ball. Your franchise is one of the most historic in the NBA. You don't have to placate to Lonzo Ball. You don't have to put that on him. If he's great, great. But if he's not up on the freaking wall, I mean, man, that's something an expansion team does to sell tickets. That's something a 6-10 football team does to stir the fan base. We expect a number two Lonzo Ball jersey up there? Come on. Come on. I mean, please. You know, if you're the Charlotte Bobcats, okay. You're the Los Angeles Lakers. Come on. You got to be better than that. And let's just also, let's do a quick... kind of like receipt here of Lonzo Ball. Dad expects him to be the greatest player of all time, and now Magic, one of the greatest players of all time, is saying we expect him to be one of the great players of all time. No pressure, though. Lonzo's going to be perfectly fine. You're just going to be a normal kid playing basketball, you know, for the team that your dad openly vowed was the only team you would play for, and with the general manager being an NBA legend, saying that you're going to be up there on the wall in your hometown, and your father being like a loony. No pressure, though. I'm sure Lonzo will handle this perfectly. I mean, is there the possibility of implosion here for Lonzo? Yeah. Now, maybe he's quiet and reserved because he's the exact opposite and can handle all of this. Maybe it's like an Eli Manning thing, where you're like, boy, that guy doesn't give off any vibes of being a leader. But you know what? Maybe that's perfect. He's the perfect antidote for the hysteria around him. Maybe. I'm just saying, is there the possibility that all of this pressure is a little too much on Lonzo? Yeah, I would say so. He gets introduced and is like, yeah, he should be up there next to Chamberlain. He should be up there next to West when all is said and done. Oh, really? Okay. Well, I guess I'll keep an eye out on him becoming a legend before he's played a basketball game. When we come back here on the show, Tim Tebow is hitting 222 and has been promoted. Why? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
DA, how are you liking the new location so far, sir? I listen to CBS loyally on a regular basis.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we thank you much for doing it. Welcome back, DA, with you. A little reminder that all of our clips, if you want to catch up on the show, are available on YouTube. So you can go to CBS Sports Radio on YouTube and check out the video clips of the show simulcast every single day. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, Tim Tebow gets promoted from low A to high A despite hitting only 222 with three home runs. And you might ask, why is Tim Tebow getting promoted? As I mentioned last hour, you have to realize that Tim Tebow within the New York Mets organization is a favor. Who is it a favor to? Tim Tebow and Yoenis Cespedes share the same agent. They were in hot pursuit of Yoenis Cespedes, and Sandy Alderson realized that the Mets, without Cespedes, would no longer be a contender. That was the big fish they had to bring in. So, leaning on the Mets, knowing that basically the agent of Cespedes and Tebow had the Mets by the you-know-what, this became part of Sandy Alderson creating a positive atmosphere and working relationship with the agent of Cespedes. Let's put it that way. How do you know? Because for this and this reason only. Other teams were interested in Tim Tebow, but said, if we're going to sign you, you have to give up your television. You can't keep doing SEC stuff. The Mets were the only team that allowed Tim Tebow to be a part-time baseball player. They said, okay, we'll sign you and you can still leave. Remember, he was leaving to go do weekly stuff last fall for the SEC network. They let him be a part-time baseball player. Do you think they let him be a part-time baseball player because they thought they were developing the next Keith Hernandez? No. This is a Tim Tebow Make-A-Wish Foundation. This is he wanted to pursue this dream in his life. And he was trying to find somebody that would give him that opportunity. And they did. And so he's hitting 222. This is not about developing a baseball player for them. This is about allowing Tebow to kind of live out his dream. And so, all right, we've used Tim Tebow the way that he's used us. We've sold tickets. We've merchandised it well. And now we promote him to another town. Now we promote him to another team. They can get the benefit off of it as well. But we don't expect him to be anything. We just kind of let him do it. And until he fails miserably, if he hits 108 or 096, you know, they're just going to kind of keep him in the system for as long as he wants to do this. And who knows, maybe if he's even hitting less than 100, they keep him in the system. But here's the problem. Do you think at 222 and three home runs and whatever, he's going to go to high A and be better? No. He's not going to go to high A and get better. Maybe high A, he's there the rest of this year. Maybe next year they start him at high A if he wants to be around next year. But that's the whole bit here you have to realize. And that's why I think people didn't realize it and they had it kind of wrong. And I don't blame you. How could you know all of those moving parts? But you know, people looked at Tim Tebow as playing baseball as though he was going to end up in major leagues. He's not. Nobody has any false pretense between
Tebow can't believe that. But even if he does, because he's like blindingly optimist, nobody in the league thinks he's going to be a real baseball player. This is just about kind of maybe developing a bit of a prospect, getting some ticket sales out of it, and hoping that he's a good, you know, he rubs off well on the other players. But this is not about developing a corner outfielder at 29 years old in low A. And I said it all along. I said, you'll never see Tim Tebow in Major League Baseball, ever. I said, he'll probably top out at best at double A. And then he's going to realize that he can't catch any of the off-speed stuff. He can't pick up the rotation on really good pitchers, you know, guys with good curveballs, guys that are coming up through the system that'll be major leaguers. And it's going to be, you know, that's where it's going to top. And that's absolutely where it's going. But this is, him getting promoted is not because they think that he's ready for the next level or that, you know, he's doing some, that they're really developing him, that he needs the next challenge. This is just about him kind of living out his make-a-wish. Bruce is next up in D.C., listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1300. What's up,
hey,
Brucey?
How you doing, D.A.?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, man, it's been a rough morning waiting on the tow truck, and I got to get some things taken care of. Wouldn't you be relished? I think you'd be licking your chops, man, if Lonzo Ball was coming into town back when, what was that, 93, when the big dog Glenn Robinson, they penciled him in at $69 million. Before he took one step on the basketball court. So this is nothing new on that aspect.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do the Los Angeles Lakers need to be saying we expect to see Lonzo Ball's jersey in the rafters?
I mean, said that about Glenn Robinson after giving him $69 million before he stepped on and played one quarter.
But you had to, because that's where the rookies, that's where the salaries were going. Obviously, there was no like salary structure in place, so you just had to basically pay them as much as he wanted so that he would play. That's how crazy all those contracts became.
Uh-huh. And then we got, well, at least we know Carmelo and Wade, they not quite at the level of Ken Griffey Jr. Sleeping in the dugout yet. They didn't get there yet.
No, and, no, and let's hope that they don't get there. Let's hope they're not falling asleep like Phil Jackson.
And then, D.A., we got to straighten this out, too, about the super team. I ain't going to go into, you know, that probably would have been a super team with Bill Wall, Cousins, and then bringing KD down there with that crew in Washington. But everybody keep talking about this KD piece. Does anybody realize that Harrison Barnes left? It's not like Harrison Barnes stayed, because when he stayed, that's when they won a championship. That's when they was up 3-1. That man is gone. So where is this super team? The man is gone. I mean, are they including Zaza Pachulia?
So, wait a second.
Are you saying
that the Warriors are not a super team because they lost Harrison Barnes?
Come on, NBA. Harrison Barnes is gone.
I guess I don't understand what you're saying, Bruce, but I appreciate the phone call. As I said before, when Bob Myers, general manager of the Warriors, went on the Jim Rome show and said, Kevin Durant proved we needed him to win a championship, either he's delusional or lying to make Kevin Durant feel better. Because they won a title without him, and yes, they had Harrison Barnes on that team and Andrew Bogut on that team, but give me a break. This was a squad as presently built that could have won a championship and probably would have won a championship without Kevin Durant. They didn't need him to win a title. They needed him to become unstoppable and untouchable. By the way, this is a tough morning for Mraz. The Young Guns eliminated in the county championship game yesterday morning by a score of 27-14. It was 21-14. Young Guns were driving on the 1-foot line, fourth and goal. Floody ice, quarterback rolls out. Can't find the receiver in the end zone. Errant pass, falls incomplete. And then ACA Contracting gets it back on the 1.5-yard line, can take a knee. There's no timeouts. They're going to celebrate. And instead, they throw the bomb. They score a touchdown to the final play. Extra point is not kicked. It's 27-14, rubbing salt in the wounds. Andrew Bogut, that strikes me as a team that felt like the Young Guns were too about celebrity, got too big for their britches, and wanted to push them a little bit back down to earth.
I think the entire Long Island flag football community was behind that last touchdown.
Yeah.
Because most people outside the Young Guns think the Young Guns are going to be put in their place, and they were.
They were. Yeah, I think Long Island communities and fans across the league had banded against the Young Guns because they didn't like Mraz's arrogance.
Yeah, I mean, it really did start with Sean.
It all started with Sean.
Right.
Yeah, it all started with Mraz. And I think that there was a little bit of that in there, Mraz, and you've got to own that.
I don't think there's arrogance. I think there was confidence. And it all started with me getting punched in the face. It wasn't me being arrogant. You know what I mean?
But you got a lot of attention. You were the poster child. You and Mr. Six of this league.
We put a target on our back.
You did.
Teams like ACA Contracting felt disrespected, and they really stuck it to us yesterday and weren't classy about it. And quite frankly, I thought the officials didn't like us yesterday either.
Oh, so you're blaming the officials.
Wow. I'm not blaming the officials, but the officials had a bad day yesterday.
I embrace not having morals, and I don't care.
League had a very black eye yesterday for the way they treated the Young Guns, and it's going to be a long off season.
Well, you guys have to realize that maybe you gave a black eye to the rest of the league for the way some of your antics happened and what you said about other teams.
Well, we'll find out at the owners' meetings in the next month.
the guy that said this is not about cockiness, then just blame the referees?
Totally did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just totally making sure.
That's the same guy that spit in somebody's eye,
yeah,
by the way,
exactly.
Early in his career.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I'm a lost cause.
When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
Lobster roll or fried clam dinner?
Oh, I'm going to mix on it. My favorite is the clam roll.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm going to mix on it.
What you think about that, DA?
I think Gary Thorne is a man. I think he's a savage mixing clam rolls and lobster rolls. That's why he's a legend. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And a little reminder to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDA Show. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Go there, like the show page. We'll get your timeline popping.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
You'll have pictures and links and webcasts and videos and podcasts and everything that you need to do one-stop shopping on the DA.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
That's facebook.com/TheDA Show. It is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. In summer, heat can cause your battery fluid to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio, which is what Dan did. Dan tweets, DA, do you think the Lakers will up their offer to get Paul George now so the Cavaliers won't get him or wait until next season? I think if you're the Lakers, you wait. I really do. I think you wait. Paul George is an L.A. kid. Paul George wants to play in L.A. You trading for Paul George now only gives up assets to make your team worse. Paul George is going to want to go to a place where he feels like he can win more than what he was doing in Indiana. And if you have to trade what little pieces already the Lakers have, it's going to make them even worse. And they're already terrible. Now, obviously, they add Lonzo Ball. But now you've got some pieces in place that Paul George can go to and feel like it's a reasonable situation. I mean, LaVar Ball guarantees that Lonzo is going to bring them to the promised land, the playoffs, this upcoming year. I don't think they're going to make that type of jump. I don't think they're going to be the 8th seed in the West. But if you've got a young team that, let's say, wins 37 games this year, 35 games. So there are a few games under 500 or so, you know, but they're not in the playoffs yet. But Paul George goes, well, I get to go back home, get to get all my money, and I've got a team that's kind of on the cusp of the playoffs. I get to go there, and they've got space for another max deal. And that's when maybe LeBron is going to opt out of Cleveland or go elsewhere or seek greener pastures or whatever. That's the best case scenario for Paul George and the Lakers. So I don't think... Why bother trading for him if you feel like you've got him just by spending the money that you need on him next summer? John's in Mississippi, listening on 103.1 of CBS Sports Radio. What's up, John?
Hey, DA. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
As a former D1 college tennis player for many years ago, I wanted to weigh in on the Serena Williams conversation that
okay.
you posted
yeah.
a little bit earlier.
Very good.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Now, when I played back in the 80s, I played at a school in Texas that I won't name, but Texas Christian University had a very good team, and Martina Navratilova at that time was dominating the women's game. And she would practice, since she lived in Fort Worth, with the TCU players quite frequently. And, you know, from what I hear, now I can't confirm it, but I knew a lot of people, and from what I hear, you know, their top guys could beat her. Now, granted, that was in practice, and it wasn't with $1 million on the line, but I feel that it's relevant to mention that. And I also, you know, the women's game has changed. The game of tennis has changed. That the female athletes are bigger and stronger compared to what they used to be. And the racket technology with all the titanium has certainly equalized the gap in power between men and women because back then it was much greater than it is now, the difference. But I think to try to figure out where Serena would stack up in the men's game, I think one of the things we'd have to do is put her up against some of the top college players now and see what would happen.
I agree with that. I think you'd have to have players that are still in their prime. You're not talking about retired players like John McEnroe. You're not talking about making some type of spectacle battle of the sexes like Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. You're talking about, yes, putting decent college tennis players, but I don't think she's going to want to do that because then that's, she could only lose in that situation if she loses, maybe the greatest women's tennis player ever loses to a college kid, then she loses a ton of respect there, and the women's game loses respect. So I don't think she would ever do that. But, I mean, here's the point that I was trying to make. Do I think that Serena Williams on the men's circuit wins majors? No, absolutely not. Do I think that she dominates Wimbledon like she does or the French Open or what? No, I don't. Do I think, though, that John McEnroe has to go out of his way to totally disrespect her? No, and that's what, to me, is unfair. I think that what his whole angle was to basically just puke all over her, to just totally disrespect her, that the greatest women's player ever, arguably, is no better than the 700th best male right now in the world. Not like the 700 greatest tennis players of all time, but the 700th player now? I mean, that's either hyperbole to make a point or just looking to completely disrespect her and the women's game. Which I don't believe. I don't believe that Serena Williams is anywhere near the 701st best player in the world right now. All right, let's get to your cut line this morning.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Terry Bradshaw, old people. That's what Aaron Rodgers needed as clues to come up with people that are bald for to win his teammate $100,000 on the $100,000 pyramid, which aired last night. So apparently Rodgers was playing in this and then also had played it in a Celebrity Jeopardy game before. But people that are bald and championship, and he got to Terry Bradshaw, and you know what? Hard to argue with guessing bald guys that have won a Super Bowl and not getting Terry Bradshaw. So you can be very identifiable just by being bald. So Mraz, you've got some good news.
So sorry, you've been cut.
I am a
pop
culture
phenomenon. Thank you. Goodbye.
You're a pop culture phenomenon such as yourself.
I think the baldness is carrying that weight.
Possibly. NBA free agency rumors continue. A sneaky team has come out of the woodwork to try to grab Blake Griffin, and that would be the Denver Nuggets. A team that just missed out on the postseason is looking to make a big splash that they could be one of the teams that would trade for Kevin Love. They've also looked into trying to sign either Blake Griffin or Paul Millsap. So how about the Nuggets? You never expect to hear their name in the middle of big news. The Nuggets have a good little young core there. The Joker could take the next step next year. That guy came on. He was fantastic. They almost made the playoffs. Then you add one of those other guys, they suddenly become a pretty interesting team.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And Ichiro becomes the oldest man to start in center field since 1900. I guess that's how far back we have accurate readings on guys' ages. But the previous record was Ricky Henderson, who played center field in 02 for the Red Sox at 43 years old and 211 days. 43 and 211. Ichiro this weekend was 43 and 246. So he's 109 days away, something like that, 110 days away from being 44. Ichiro's nearly 40. And can you believe Ricky Henderson was 43 years old 15 years ago? God, my God. So the dude is what, 57 years old? Ricky's already nearing 60?
I mean, he played till he was 55.
That's outrageous. Like, how, if you told me Julio Franco's like 75, I guess I'd have to believe it at this point.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, yesterday morning, the Young Guns lose in the county championship game. A difficult offseason awaits. Reportedly, there's already been friction about whether the Young Guns should go out and try to acquire Mr. Six. Mr. Six might be available. Free agency begins in a few weeks. When does free agency begin? July 15th?
July 15th.
So a little bit more than 2 weeks away from free agency. And apparently right now there have been early conversations after the loss by the Young Guns about adding a Mr. Six. Sounds like there's two different camps. The camp that says he would ruin team chemistry. There is the other camp that says with Mr. Six, we would have beaten ACA contracting. And with that, you can only imagine there is going to be a very volatile offseason. A big one in the history of the Young Guns awaits.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Very volatile. It's tough to touch anything with a 10-foot pole. The locker room is ripped to shreds right now.
I think you got to go get Mr. Six. I really do. I think you got to. I think he's thirsty for a championship. I think he totally adds a different layer of explosiveness to you. I think he adds a very good ability to not get beat on the deep ball, which you guys got beat on time and time again yesterday.
But this is still a man that punched somebody in the face this year. We got to have your head in check.
Yeah, but you deserve to get punched in the face.
No, I did not.
If it was anybody else, maybe not.
No, I did not.
Let's get to your epic fail. And we were going down the road of a good John Sterling story for one of our listeners, but it took a long time to get there.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Dan's next up in upstate New York, listening on CBS Sports Radio.
John Sterling, a couple weeks ago or so, you did a well, Susan. And
she knows everything, and I know nothing.
Yeah, I do enjoy doing a Sterling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got one for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Susan was like, yeah, I'm so loopy I could say anything, you know, after 3 hours of sleep. And she did a 6 degrees of separation story about baseball.
Okay.
And
perfect.
John replied with his. And the best part was it was like a break in the inning. He couldn't finish it. He said, oh, well, Susan,
30 days has September. That's what I have to do, April, June, and November. So
Ken Singleton and I had the same girlfriend.
Okay. Okay, good.
But he backed it up and said she's a wonderful woman now, and he mentioned her first name, right?
Okay.
And mentioned his or her family or whatever.
Okay.
And the 6 degrees of separation story of it was
today, Junior?
Let's move it along here. We got a short show here. What do you got, Dan?
That the girlfriend's son played in Las Vegas ball with...
Does it get this cold in Japan?
Today, Junior?
The pitcher that was coming in and...
Okay. Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Whoa, that was even harder to listen to the second time around. We won't be winning any more Conies after that.
He called back to try to finish the story to me. It took another 6 minutes. We got to Chase and Shreve was the pitcher.
Okay. All right. I do have to say I love John Sterling potentially doing 6 degrees of separation with Susan in the middle of the night during a West Coast road trip. That sounds just about perfect. That sounds like exactly what I would want to be listening to.
And you know, Susan, they asked Tiger Woods during the sobriety test to recite the alphabet backwards. Why don't we try to do that in between this batter? Z, Y, X. Susan, what comes before X? A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K. 2 is low. M, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W. Oh, it's W, Susan. Which is what the Yankees have not been stacking in the wins column. Thanks to Sean Mraz, Pete the Body Bellotti, Chris Venezia, and Andrew Bogish. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA and the Mothership Disconnect.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.